Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You're listening to Press This, a WordPress community podcast on WMR. Each week, we spotlight members of the WordPress community. I'm your host, Doc Pop. I support the WordPress community through my role at WP Engine and my contributions on TorqueMag.io. You can subscribe to Press This on Red Circle, iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. You can also download episodes directly from WMR.fm. Now, the media landscape has always had its ups and downs, but the past few months have felt particularly grim to me for journalism. Prominent newspapers like Washington Post and Los Angeles Times have had massive layoffs in January. And since then, other sites like Sports Illustrated, National Geographic, Pitchfork, and Vice, that's a big one, have had their newsrooms gutted, turning them effectively into ghost brands. These companies will still exist as a brand, but just without the journalists. In the wake of all this, we've seen a few successful worker-owned sites like Defector, Flaming Hydra, and 404 Media popping up and doing great journalism. We've also seen the rise of independently owned newsletters powered by platforms like Substack, Patreon, Ghost, and yes, WordPress. I wanted to learn more about the future of publishing, so today I'm talking with Ryan Singel, the co-founder of Outpost Publishers Cooperative, which helps subscriber-driven newsletters and sites thrive with independent tools rather than using the VC-funded platforms of the olden times. Now, Ryan is, like I said, the co-founder of Outpost Publishers Cooperative. He's also the founder of Contextly, which is one of my favorite WordPress plugins, and a former editor at Wired Magazine. Ryan, how are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for having me on, Doc.
Yeah. With that big bummer intro, hopefully you're gonna brighten things up today. I know that you came from the world of journalism. Why don't you give us a little bit of just a brief rundown of your WordPress origin story?
Yeah. So I had my own kind of blog sites. I think the first one I had was Unmovable Type. And then when I was working at Wired, which was part of owned by Condé Nast, a big publishing, conglomerate, we were stuck on sort of terrible magazine-centric CMS that we all hated. And we kind of had an internal revolt and managed to sort of get Wired to be allowed to run WordPress. And it was a liberating experience for us. So I think that was fairly early on, I want to say like 2007-ish, maybe, I want to say. And so just it freed things up, launched a bunch of just sort of like standalone blogs, did really well. Folks like the biggest one people might remember is Danger Room, which was led by Noah Schachtman, who then became, editor-in-chief over Rolling Stone as of late. But we were able to sort of, it sort of freed us up. And then as we were working on it, I got frustrated with how we picked related stories for our posts, and then eventually created my own solution, and then left journalism to start Contextually, which kind of like makes it easier for people to show great recommendations back to their own content, whether that's algorithmic or editorially picked. So WordPress, you know, both changed my daily life publishing and also changed my life in terms of turning me from a journalist into an entrepreneur.
You know, I've talked to you several times on this show and a few others. One of my favorite plugins, Contextually, is a WordPress plugin that allows people to have a way to keep visitors on their site longer. Like they read an article and Contextually helps suggest another article, hopefully to keep them sticky and hopefully to let you know what people are interested in. It gives a cool daily information and analytics that are pretty different and more useful, I think, than Google's analytics. And we might talk about that later. I don't know if that's really relevant to today's conversation, other than the fact that I think right after you left Wired, you started thinking about the issues you faced in the times of journalism and publishing and kind of wanting to find solutions for it. How do you keep people sticking around and using things like WordPress to use those tools? Currently, you're working on a project, the Outpost Publishers Cooperative. I don't know if it kind of fits that vibe or not, but why don't you tell us what's going on there?
Yeah, so one of the things, you know, we really wanted with Contextually was, you know, you get somebody to come into your site is you want to get them to read more so that they come back, right? Or, you know, kind of become a subscriber or a loyalist. The goal we were trying to build there was really like, how do you build a loyal audience, right? Not just, you know, getting sort of a viral hit. But that was, you know, during the days of the fire hose of Facebook traffic. So most publishers were just fine. You know, we didn't care if we got people's email addresses. We don't care if they come back as long as we kind of just keep pumping stuff out and we'll just make money off of the, you know, the Facebook ads and, you know, the Facebook traffic. And that was a little frustrating. And then, you know, what we've seen is a change over the last few years, you know, where people are starting to sort of want to be loyal. They want to, you know, support the people whose stuff they like, right? On whether that's on Patreon or Substack or, you know, there's a number of different platforms for that. And then we started looking at Ghost, which is an open source publishing system that's more sort of like has membership and newsletter sending kind of baked into it, and decided like this was the, you know, we felt like there was kind of a mixture of the zeitgeist of change in the world and people wanting to do, you know, wanting to sort of build publishing, you know, sort of, I don't know, build a publication that is sustainable and people being willing to pay for things, and just seemed kind of the perfect storm of sort of social, economic, and then technical changes. It just became easier to run a site that is subscription driven. So feel like it's a continuation of what we were doing with Contextually, and it's an interesting moment to be in because it's both full of peril and bad news and also lots of opportunity.
You mentioned Ghosts. It is an open source platform. It seems like it started off as a competitor to WordPress. I didn't follow it very closely, but it feels like it then pivoted to sort of, you say subscriber based. I tend to think of them as powering a lot of newsletters while still having kind of a front end kind of WordPress-y website. Is that kind of a fair thing to say? Is that they, you know, started off as a competitor to WordPress and pivoted to a slightly different model that focused on subscribers and newsletters?
Yeah, I didn't follow them super early on. So, you know, I think early on they wanted to be kind of the a fast React-based alternative. We're doing a lot of stuff to like help, you know, people run headless websites. I think a lot of the early clients, we saw a lot of sort of corporate blogs, you know, startup blogs that were running on a different-ish platform. And they have kind of a different underlying architecture. So it's more API-driven rather than plugin-driven. And I think it was about three or four years ago now, they started to move to more of a sending out newsletters. And I like to think of it less as the sort of like, you know, I like to think of sites as being sort of like what I think Ghost is really good at is the subscription part. The newsletter is kind of nice, you know, that it's very easy to sort of write a post and send it. But I think, you know, with subscriptions, what you're really kind of talking about there is sort of like sort of the community-ness of it, right? Being able to easily get someone and sort of like have them, their member I don't know, their memberness being like very much a part of your publishing system. So yeah, I think they're less of, you know, they're less of a sort of a general attempt to be a general replacement, you know, in the way that I think WordPress is, feels like a Swiss Army knife where it can, you know, really can make it kind of do everything, to being a very specialized tool that's focused on publications that are really about getting members and distributing, you know, distributing via newsletters or being, you know, paid or gated content.
We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to pick up our conversation with Ryan, and we're going to talk about some of the journalist-owned publications that are kind of filling the gap and using these small tools to, like I said, fill the gap in the news space. So stay tuned for more after this quick break.
Time to plug into a commercial break. Stay tuned for more Press This in just a moment.
Welcome back to Press This. Today, we're talking to Ryan Singel, a co-founder of Outpost Publishers Cooperative. We are talking about how journalists can use new tools to hopefully fill the gap that's left when these larger journalistic empires are now gutting and getting rid of their staff. I think of some of the successful stories that have happened in the past year. We've got Defector, Racket, Flaming Hydra, 404 Media, which is a personal favorite, Lever News, and Tangle. These are just some examples. I don't know if they're all worker owned, but they are all small publishers that are focused around finding sustainable ways to bring journalism to readers. Ryan, can you tell us a little bit about some of these sites and what they have in common?
Yeah, so I think what we've seen is, you know, we've got people who have, you know, journalistic experience, right? They know how to write stories, they're hungry, they want to move fast, and they're looking for independence, and so that they're not at the whim of, you know, in the case of sort of newspapers, right, you get private equity that just buys up the whole chain, or just bad corporate decision making, or the reliance on advertising, you know, that's where you just need tons of page views in order to pay the bills. And so I think what we sort of, the common thing is, like, you know, everybody's trying to do something new, but they want to do something journalistic, right? You know, they want to report news, they want to build a community. And so what I think we've largely seen is, like, most of them, you know, the main focus is build a loyal community, sending out things via email addresses, but, you know, can also be having their paid members get the paid version of their podcast, for instance, or join their Discord community, right? So it's just a very community focused, and then other sources of things like ads or even events kind of, like, are secondary to that. So I think what we really see is, like, a mixture of sort of a frustration with the current world, trying to do something new, and a tenaciousness to sort of fight their way to the point where they're sustainable.
Now, when I think of a few of these publications that we just mentioned, it seems like they are shifting from the days of ad-funded news and leaning in more towards subscriber-paid funded news. And oftentimes this kind of brings to mind paywalls. I don't know if necessarily all of these are paywalls, even if they are kind of raising money from subscribers, but it definitely feels like we have this shift in how journalism is getting funded, but also in how people like you or I might interpret someone asking us for money up front for news, where I definitely 2 years ago would have been like, why are you sharing paywalled articles? And now I'm probably guilty of sharing articles that I've paid for without even thinking about, like, the old me trying to read them. Is there, like, a shift in how this is getting funded?
There is a shift, you know, and especially on the small side, you know, I think you're starting to see, we'll see a mix of, you know, I think what a lot of people do is a mix of, like, the majority or half of their stuff is not behind a paywall. We're seeing more stuff that, like, is behind kind of a registration wall, so you have to give your email address to read it. And then some portion of the sites being, you know, reader, you know, for paying subscribers only. And it's definitely a tension, you know, because, like, they want, you know, like, nobody really wants to paywall their stuff, but then, you know, at some point you kind of have to, there's, you know, the calculation of, like, how do we get someone to go from being free to paid, right? And how do we do this? In the kind of local news space, there's a large...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Portion of the sort of new sites that are out there that are on a nonprofit model and don't do any of the sort of, you know, sort of the hard paywalls. And the memberships there are generally kind of cast as more of a kind of like a donation model, you know, sort of a public broadcasting-ish model. But that tends to mean they're more reliant on grants and other sorts of funding, because it's just, they just tend not to get as much membership money that way. But they see themselves as being, you know, a public service and, you know, often bringing news to communities that just don't have any other source of news. But there's definitely been a change in the number of things that are gone behind paywalls that, you know, used to be only the Wall Street Journal could get away with it. And now, yeah, lots of small indie folks are finding out that, you know, that can work for them as well.
Emotionally, there's a difference between me landing on a Washington Post article and being asked for money and me landing on a 404 media page where I know there's literally four journalists who are getting paid with that, right? It's not like a whole staff-wide thing. It's like, oh, this is going to pay for your writing, which also kind of goes hand in hand with like why I might be more likely to subscribe to a newsletter, is because it's like there's a person and there's a name and there's a human connection there, where if it's a large company at a certain point and they're asking me to pay for something, but there's still ads and, you know, product marketing happening inside there, I'm a little less likely to do that.
Yeah, I think there was just definitely been a shift, you know. And I don't know if this, like, you know, I don't know if it started with Patreon, but like there just seems to be a cultural shift where, you know, we're just more willing to hand over money to people whose stuff we kind of like, we just want them to be out in the world, right? We want their stuff to exist. We want them to be able to do what they're doing and you know, make a decent living doing it. You know, because the amount of content you're going to get for, you know, $10 a month from a newsletter from someone who you really like, you know, you're going to get a lot more from the Washington Post, at least in terms of volume, right? Washington Post, $10 a year, you get tons and tons of stuff, but you may not get, you know, but that misses the person whose like perspective you love, or who is writing about a niche topic that you care about, or someone who's writing about your local community. So I feel like there has been, you know, sort of a cultural shift. And then we've just also seen the tech tools have made it easier to do that. So that smaller site, the 404 Media, has, you know, a membership system that I would say is as good as most mid-range publishers, you know, mid-sized publishers, you know, or even better, you know, some of the larger tech sites, larger news publishers have terrible tech. So there's been a democratizing function of, I think, open source CMSs and even some of the corporate funded, well, you know, VC funded ones that kind of goes hand in hand with that.
On the subject of tech, if someone was running a WordPress news site and they wanted to get it funded, one alternative, we mentioned Patreon. Patreon has a really good plugin for WordPress that allows you to connect it and paywall basically articles. So you can have your Patreon site, but you don't have to just publish on Patreon. You can still have a WordPress site that has like, oh, to have access to this section, you need to do this. And it might be like some of your articles are free, but there might be bonus content or podcasts or things like that. I think bonus stuff is a way a lot of these people are doing it. Like, we're providing a lot for free, but if you want a little bit more, or if you want this free without ads, here's a way to do it. Another alternative in the WordPress space is something you told me about. I haven't heard about this. It's called Newspack. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So Newspack is actually, I think, I believe they're an offshoot of Automattic. So Newspack essentially bundles together vetted plugins that basically all kind of like local news people basically need, right? So kind of including advertising, analytics, ways to send newsletters, etc. And then there's kind of a flat fee that you pay per month for them to provide all of these sort of vetted plugins and help your site run, etc. Newspack has been around for a while, you know, and that tends to be used by smaller local publishers mostly. There's money out there trying to help all, especially around local news, trying to survive and come back because there's been such a decimation of newspapers. So the Knight Foundation, which is a gigantic foundation based out of Florida, has been traditionally giving money and giving grants and so forth, and now they're going for a big push to essentially try and figure out how to make all of this sustainable and how to get local communities to give funding. So they've got $500 million that they're wanting to spend over the next few years to try and revitalize local journalism, both by supporting individual publishers, organizations that help those publishers, and then also some of the tech. So Newspack got, I think, something like $8 million from them to help build out this sort of like this tech stack. And then there's a number of other tools. I think there's Memberful, which is, I think, also from Patreon in the WordPress space.
And in the ghost space, there's Tiny News Collective?
Yeah, so they're a little bit different. So Tiny News Collective would be one of those organizations that gets funded to help publishers. So they work with people that want to start something up, maybe, you know, who, especially in communities that just don't get any representation or in communities that just don't have anything. And they help them sort of start, launch something, right? So folks that, you know, maybe don't know what to do in terms of the tech and so forth. So they're big sort of like, they help folks there, and then they have their publishers that they work with use Ghost. So, and they're separate from Ghost, of their own organization. They, Tiny News Collective, also got money from Knight Foundation to help. So Ghost is kind of off on its own, sort of like, you know, in the same way Automattic is largely separate from all the things that you can do with it and the people helping it. So Tiny News Collective, yeah, so essentially like help people get launched, get them on Ghost, give them a nice looking theme, and then give them kind of ongoing support in, you know, both on the tech side and the sort of strategy side.
You know, we're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up our conversation with Ryan Singel and talk a little bit more about CMSs such as WordPress and Ghost, and talk about how they can help the future of journalism. So stay tuned for more after the short break.
Time to plug into a commercial break. Stay tuned for more Press This in just a moment.
Welcome back to Press This, the WordPress community podcast. My name is Doc. I'm talking to Ryan Singel, the co-founder of Outpost Publishers Cooperative. And Ryan, early on in this interview, you mentioned your days at Wired and how there was an internal revolt about the CMS. And it kind of reminded me, and this was the CMS before they switched to WordPress. It reminds me, though, that I think just yesterday I heard an interview with Nilay Patel, the editor at Verge, who said, I'm going to read his quote here. "Boy, I'd like the reporters who work here to write for us in the text box that pays us money instead of over there in the text box that extracts value." Now, what Nilay is saying there is that he's seeing his writers having more fun publishing on, you know, Twitter or Threads or wherever. And he's like, why can't it be fun to publish here? And he goes on in that interview to talk about some of the changes that they made to their CMS to I guess, streamline it, to make it more fun. And I guess that just kind of seems relevant to what you're talking about. If it's painful for a writer, if it's literally painful to write on a CMS, then obviously they're going to want to go to Facebook and write their post or somewhere else. Did you find that to be true?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So, you know, we had sort of the one main CMS, and the workflow all worked through that. And it was very slow, and it involved the art desk. And then when we moved to WordPress, you know, we ended up being, you know, I think we were actually like 10 different WordPress sites. So we kind of changed things so that, you know, each, you know, sort of vertical had its own like WordPress site. And so we could just do fun, quick posts. We could, you know, and one of my favorite ones we did back in the day is we, I don't remember when the Homeland Security had its threat level color coded things. And every once in a while, we would just make a fake version of that. You know, we did like a hot dog version, you know, with a, you know, Tijuana Danger Dog being at the top, and then a vegan pup being at the yellow color. And, you know, we could just write that, send it out, and it was fun, right? And then we would still go do the real journalism kind of stuff. But we couldn't, you know, when we didn't have access to the CMS ourselves and, you know, couldn't press publish, you know, ourselves, you know, we had to wait to go through, you know, four levels of editors and the art desk. So it did make things a lot more fun, and things got a lot more experimental, and we were able to try things about what would happen if we, you know, published 10 posts a day really quickly, you know, little short things, or, you know, should we focus on long form or so forth. So it was just a really fun time, you know, sort of putting that publishing power more towards, you know, in a large organization, pushing that down so that like individual writers and editors could make decisions and do things quickly, really did revolutionize what Wired was like in the 2000s.
You're mentioning experimentation and how you all could kind of play around more quickly. I do hope that maybe something that happens from all of this, I do worry about not the sustainability of these smaller sites, but like the fact that they are not going to necessarily hire as many people as, you know, previously. It's, you know, all of these collectives we're talking about are still pretty small. But the one nice thing about having a small group is that they can experiment more, and they could create their own Mastodon instance or whatever. And that way, when they're writing in the small box that isn't the official website, it could still be like their Mastodon instance or something like that. You know, maybe we'll see people kind of trying different things and experimenting more and still owning more of the content as a result, and not just willy-nilly sharing the content around onto other platforms that are extracting value from them.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we're going to see some fun experiments with that. And so, you know, I would love to see more of, you know, when you do sort of like share out there, doing that sort of like posse thing, or the publish once, syndicate everywhere idea from the indie web, where even if you're doing share your stuff out there, it still lives somewhere on your own site, right? And you can do more fun, interesting things. So if you want to do your snark, it could be over there in the sidebar or in a different part of the site, right? You know, the main homepage still looks serious, right? But then there's the fun places, you know, the places for people to do things that are a little more fun and not, you know, necessarily, you know, the kind of thing that you're going to have show up in Google News, right?
And on that note, Ryan, where is a good spot for people to follow your snark online?
Yeah, my snark these days is mostly over on Mastodon. I am Ryan Single, all one word, and that's S-I-N-G-E-L at writing.exchange. And then the sort of the fun stuff we're doing to help publishers on the Ghost platform build their businesses, you can see what we're up to over at outpost.pub.
Outpost.pub, and here I see the list of services you're proudly powering, including The Atlantic, 404 Media, Tangle, Future Crunch, a lot of great stuff here, Vallejo Sun. So that's super cool to see that you're part of those awesome networks. Well, thanks for listening to Press This, a WordPress community podcast on WMR. Please visit torquemag.io to see transcribed versions of these podcasts, plus more WordPress news and tutorials. You can subscribe to Press This on Red Circle, iTunes, Spotify, or download it directly from WMR.fm. I'm your host, Dr. Popular. I support the WordPress community through my role at WP Engine, and I love spotlighting members of that community each week on Press This.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.